Today, we're thrilled to have Matt Horan here to speak with us about music, and it is wonderful, all the music he's already contributed. It's a great opportunity to hear him speak a little bit about music and spirituality. Thanks, Matt.
Thank you for having me. Dogon sorcerer beats a djembe for a healing ceremony. Dervishes whirl to the wail of a Turkish Sufi's reed flute. A Celtic bard sings an ancient pagan song while strumming a harp. A Siberian shaman goes into a trance supported by the drumming of his dungar. Hindus meditate to a raga played on a sitar. The voices of Tibetan Buddhist monks blend together in chant. An aborigine drones away on a didgeridoo. A Peruvian medicine man calls to his spirits with a pan flute in the Andean mountains. A Native American group performs a rain dance to the rhythm of rattles and bells. A beat snaps his finger and bobs his head to the bebop chaos of a wailing saxophone in a smoky bar. And a music therapist plays a song loved by a patient with Alzheimer's that helps them to recall a memory and speak comfortably for the first time in a long time about their life at the time of the song's influence. So, music and spirituality. It would seem we could all agree on what we would refer to as music, more or less. At least it would appear to be more universally definable than spirituality. But what music is linked with spirituality? I remember playing electric guitar in the Lutheran church I attended for a very brief stint in high school. While the choir and others were filtering in, I was quietly warming up with a tune I was learning on my guitar by Led Zeppelin called A Whole Lot of Love. My reverie was suddenly interrupted by a sharp reprimand from our organist. He gruffly informed me that I could not play that in here. Presumably referring to the most holy building we were currently in. Apparently, he did not find my music spiritual. At the same time, I was mostly fascinated by the raucous blues guitar of Jimmy Page and paid little attention to the lyrical content. Down the road, I realized how overtly sexual the lyrical content of that song is. I now assume that sexuality was likely what he found inappropriate in a religious context. I also find it funny that he was so familiar with those lyrics. And another thing, is sexuality really out of place within a spiritual and religious context? Perhaps a subject for another talk. How is music connected to spirituality? I first heard music that I felt a spiritual connection to when listening to my older sister Jennifer playing a New Age piano piece called Cristofori's Dream, by David Lawns. I was mesmerized by the simple beauty of it, the dynamics, the crescendos and decrescendos, and my sister played it masterfully. I sensed she experienced something even more beautiful in moving her body and fingers on the keys to the story told by the music, and I wanted to be able to have that experience and share it. I took piano lessons starting at the age of 5 to 11. I was brought up listening and playing mostly classical and some New Age music, and so-called secular music was mostly absent, seemingly by design. Searching through an old box of tapes one day, I was introduced to Blondie, Fleetwood Mac, and Supertramp. My ears were expanding, and I really found myself enjoying my first taste of the blues from some of the guitar, keyboard, and saxophone bands, or saxophone playing in those bands. I remember occasionally getting glimpses of some long-haired 70s and 80s rockers on MTV, when they were still playing music videos, that is. I finally got around to buying my own recordings and grabbed a copy of an album called 10 by Pearl Jam and was touched without fully understanding by the human interest story contained in the song Jeremy. struck home even more years later in the wake of the Columbine shooting. It was in asking a friend in Boy Scouts who had an older hippie sister that I discovered more music that I felt a spiritual connection to. He mentioned a band called Led Zeppelin, and I bought an album with the off-sided folk and rock opus, Stairway to Heaven.
There's a lady who's sure all it glitters is gold, and she's buying a stairway to heaven. When she gets there, she knows if the stores are all closed, with a word she can get what she came for.
The album had a mixture of styles that seemed sometimes mystical and transcendental, and other times gritty, raucous, and down-to-earth without denying the most human experiences, including an overt celebration of sexuality. Sometimes switching flavors within the songs or even showcasing both at the same time. Jimmy Page described it as playing with shadow and light, and he became my first musician idol. I wanted to play like that. After discovering an acoustic guitar in my basement closet, I started to learn through method books and songs and riffs of bands I liked. As time went on, I split the cost of an electric guitar and amp with my parents for a birthday gift. I had an uncle who's a great blues guitarist and music fan. He was a huge supporter of the quest that I was on, and he set me up with some books, gear, and advice, and introduced me to the late, great Stevie Ray Vaughan. My sister's boyfriend also gave me his huge old wooden paneled stereo speakers complete with stands that took up about a quarter of my tiny room, which I'm sure my parents loved him for. In addition, he introduced me to a group called Dave Matthews Band. I used the money I earned working part-time to buy a receiver for the speakers and was ready to rock then. I found some bands that were influenced by Led Zeppelin or other hard rock and metal groups like Nirvana, Soundgarden, and Alice in Chains. I discovered bands that were more popular with my peers while escaping a home life I felt disconnected from. Bands like Tool, Korn, Radiohead. A lot of listening was done in a friend's basement who had a single working mom, and amidst the other shenanigans we got into, he was also introduced me to smoking pot. A lot of these bands were rather nihilistic and dark, which seemed to fit my feeling of a loss of innocence that I think most teenagers experience as some of the harsh realities of life are unveiled. My doubts of the truth of mainstream religion and anger at the hypocrisy of fundamentalist views were echoed well. But I was really struck by a small group of students at my high school who were playing a cover of Bulls on Parade by a band I hadn't heard of before called Rage Against the Machine. I subsequently bought the only two releases they had at the time, and I was enamored.
Some of those that were forces are the same that burn crosses. Some of those that were forces are the same that burn crosses. Some of those that were forces.
Well, my father seems to fit well in the right-wing Christian conservative camp, and growing up I heard a lot from guys like Pat Robertson and Rush Limbaugh. I'll save you the sound bites. When I was old enough to understand what was being said, I began to really react to it. I was very uncomfortable with what seemed to me to be an elitist, hateful attitude projected by these guys to anyone who wasn't a middle to upper class, wealthy, Christian, right-wing conservative with European ancestry. I still think I would rather hear Nails on a Chalkboard to this day. And Rage Against the Machine was everything they were not. I'm pretty sure dear old Dad liked hearing it about as much as I enjoyed the former gentleman I mentioned. Though I never embraced the idea of violent revolution in their music, I could relate to something I could euphemistically describe as righteous anger towards what I thought seemed to be an unfair racist classist system. This was something spiritual to me, like Jesus throwing the money changers' tables over. It supported the feelings I had, even if not the way I logically wanted to physically respond. Thankfully, I also found a balance for all that angst through a band called the Red Hot Chili Peppers. I first listened to an album called Mother's Milk and discovered the playing of John Frusciante. He had a bright, funky, cleaner, but still edgy guitar sound inspired by guys like Jimi Hendrix, Jimmy Nolan of James Brown, and of course, Jimmy Page. And then there was the amazing slap-funk-punk prodigy bassist Flea. Their songs still express a lot of the alternative viewpoints I was embracing, but with less nihilism and more playfulness. Driving around aimlessly with a stoner friend of mine who exposed me to live recordings of Dave Matthews and Fish, and learning to appreciate extended improvisations that really expanded on the emotions and feel of a song. One night I remember a friend put on a Bruce Hornsby song called Mandolin Rain. It brought me to tears for some reason. Thankfully I could hide them from the other guys in the car. I couldn't figure out why it touched such emotional nerve, but years later there seemed to be an odd connection. We'll get back to that. I attended my first neo-hippie festival in Harmony Park during my sophomore year of high school. I was mostly concerned with partying there until this amazing group called Bella Fleck and the Flecktones came up with a fantastic bass player. When he played, you had to listen. His name was Victor Wooten.
There could be no war, a bright and shiny world where there ain't no poor, where there's opportunity, peace and unity, where people can be or what they want to be, and where apartheid can never happen again, where people don't judge you by the color of your skin, where I hold your hand, you hold mine, where a helpful hand is never hard to find, a place where people care, where no one can bear when someone's hungry, with nothing there, where the heart is never cold, the young are never needy, the old are never poor, and the rich are never greedy.
He didn't just play his bass, he sang with it. And it was a very spiritual experience for me to hear someone connect to an instrument that way. Victor Wooten became another musical idol for me, and I sought out all I could by him. And he even wrote a book on music and spirituality called The Music Lesson. At the time, things were a struggle at home, and I found out my parents were getting divorced. There were some mind-blowing revelations about their relationship, and as things broke down, I moved in with a friend for a while. Then his parents split amidst a heroin addiction and lost their home. I dropped out of school, and my friend and I eventually moved to Minneapolis with another friend. I was smoking pot and partying more often and had a couple close calls with experimenting with other drugs. I felt the divorce was somewhat my fault, and I was a rather rebellious child to the point of even getting in some physical fights with my dad. I felt like there was nothing that connected any of us as human beings, and I was a stranger and afraid in a world I never made. I asked for a sign from God, and with no response, thought it seemed there wasn't one. Reading the shamanic tale of the teachings of Don Juan, I felt maybe there was another approach. My first psychedelic experience was to the Peppers cover of Stevie Wonder's Higher Ground. Other songs by the Chili Peppers, like Under the Bridge, seemed to guide me away from my fast lane experience, like Under the Bridge.
I don't ever wanna feel like I did.
started to shy away from partying and focus more on making myself and the world around me a better and healthier place. I listened to more of the Chili Peppers and Victor Wooten, but I just wasn't making ends meet, so I moved back in with my mom for several months. My grandmother had a stroke who lived in Arizona, and I wanted to be closer to her. A friend and I bought a van that was listed as Rusty but Trusty. It was $500. We made it down to Texas, where we had a couple of internet contacts we could stay with for a while and got set up. I lived there for about 6 months. The job that I was supposed to get down there didn't pan out. I had a couple friends that I was living with, but I mostly spent a lot of time by myself since I couldn't find anywhere to work still. And I listened to a lot of a band called Audio Slave that had Rage Against the Machine's musicians and the lead singer from Soundgarden, Chris Cornell. Also listening to the Chili Peppers album, By the Way. It was a very introspective time. Teaching a friend to play bass like Flea, he started dating a girl though, and I felt like a bit of a third wheel as I still hadn't found my job. I went homeless for a while after dealing with some of the depression and inadequacy I felt, but eventually I swallowed my pride and came back. Finally, we worked up enough money and motivation to make it out to Phoenix, Arizona. Shortly after arriving, my friend and his girlfriend decided to move from where we lived, and I was finally totally alone for the first time. I was in the heart of Phoenix and still pretty green. I had a job, and I met a guy who was to become a musical mentor who had struggled with a hard drug problem, lost his kids, and was about to lose his home. I gave him a place to stay with me, and he introduced me to a lot of music I hadn't heard before, some reggae and jazz, including Jaco Pastorius, who was an amazing, smooth, fretless bass player. Played with some local reggae groups as well and got me liking Bob Marley.
If you listen carefully, now you will hear.
I lost the job I had out there as well when I quit to be able to visit my grandmother, and someone stole my first acoustic guitar from my van in our brief homelessness. While we regrouped, we stayed at a Rastafarian's farm that had become surrounded by a growing city as the years had gone by, which he was pretty disappointed with. I remember waking up to the sounds of peacocks early in the morning for the week or so we stayed there. They sounded like small children screaming. Lots of great talks out there with my friend, and he played some upbeat roots reggae. I finally found a temp job cleaning sewers and moved into a small studio apartment with my friend. Helping me get through all of this was the music. It helped me to feel like I wasn't alone in the experiences I was having, prompted me to transcend the everyday when I was getting too far down in the murk of life, and brought me back down to earth at times when I would have my head too far in the clouds. After losing that second job in Phoenix, becoming disappointed with addiction, heartache, and struggle all around me, I called my dad. I learned through some of my new life experiences to doubt my own rigid beliefs and even to doubt my doubt. Though I still basically had left of center and alternative beliefs and views, I learned not to cling to them as desperately as I had before, and we began to repair our relationship. I missed my family and wanted to get back to Minnesota, So my time in the desert had ended. I lived with my dad for a while. He still had a few theological and political arguments, but they were less heated. I was working and had totally embraced sobriety. I got in touch with an old acquaintance who I also learned was embracing sobriety after a stint at Hazelden Youth Center. We both attended a concert by a singer-songwriter who had mentored her at the rehab center. He played an acoustic guitar and did folk songs heavily inspired by Grateful Dead and Old Country. It's a bit out of my comfort zone at the time, but I wanted to be able to start playing music with other people. So we swapped stories and influences. The result was that I ended up playing bass for him for a period. Sobriety was our motto, which was awesome for me. As Stevie Ray Vaughan said of some of the bands he played with early on, they had been subject to the same kind of myths that I had, that to play that kind of music and be successful at it, or to be creative and hip, you had to be high. I was finding that I made much more progress in my sobriety, and I was loving it. One of our first shows was in a town I had never heard of called Winona. My band leader's mom had been struggling with cancer, though, and he had to go visit with her the day of the show. He offered for me to go down to Winona with a friend who played solo acoustic and just improvised the entire set of originals he had. Being new on the scene and naive to how challenging that would be, I agreed. Riding with him, I was struck by the beauty of Winona's rolling hills and the charm of the town. We ate burgers at Boob's, and then we're off to the show at Rascal's Bar. I felt like I was fighting the last battle of my life through the whole set, and though I had fun, I was relieved when it was over. Leaving the stage, a couple of women came up to us to chat, and I was enamored with one of them, who seemed to have a glow about her. She was dressed like one of those hippies from that festival I went 2 years ago. We smiled and talked for a minute, but then she had to attend to a friend who had too much to drink. She contacted me later through the magic of social media, and the rest, as they say, is history. My lovely wife, Tanya, introduced me to what I consider some of the most spiritual bands I've ever heard. One of them is Wookiefoot. They're a Minnesota-bred band and have brought a lot of bands to the stages in Harmony Park who have made it bigger in the music industry while themselves remaining a grassroots group dedicated to supporting local music, charities, and setting up a lot of amazing charities all around the world, especially overseas in India.
So what was written on the cool room? You move more of the kitchen, this body's only rented. And this world is fundamented. And so it was written, and so it was written on the cool room. You move more of the kitchen, that love really is all you need. So go plant yourself some seeds.
I'm
gonna
turn up on the drugs and things. So I made a conscious move to make my whole lot of change. Gally, dally, love my mother, T and Dr. King. Doesn't matter what religion, they all say the same thing.
Discovered artists like Modest Yahoo, Trevor Hall, Xavier Rudd, and Nako and Medicine for the People. Many of them have music full of overtly spiritual themes from all different traditions. They have stuck with us through many years and helped us a lot with a pivotal event in my life when we lost a daughter due to a miscarriage. We had decided to name her Mandolin before she was born. At some point after we lost her, I heard Bruce Hornsby's song, Mandolin Rain.
Listen to the music, listen to the music on the radio.
once again brought me to tears. It became an anthem for her, to us. And catching up more to the present and my musical and spiritual connection with our little group, I developed an ever-changing and evolving personal spirituality out of a number of traditions that were meaningful to me, but I missed having a group dynamic. I searched for some kind of group that had views I might be able to fit into. Online, I discovered that Winona had a UU group. After thoroughly researching, as a good UU must be, I came alone to check it out. There I wandered into a small group where I felt quite welcome from the start. Sitting at the piano was a cute little lady, later came to be known as Nancy Quinn. She played beautifully, and at some point launched into a soulful rendition of all things, a David Lahn's tune. For one of the only times I can think of as an adult in a public group, I started to well up. Images of home came to me instantly, and I felt like I had arrived. Music has been integral to my spiritual journey. It has been a medium through which I have found companionship, wisdom, humor, the mysterious, and the beautiful. Whatever your definition is of music, good music, or what is spiritual, I think it is primarily about how it makes you feel. I think music is something we relate to like other people. We may not understand, or may even really despise, or see as inferior another person, or style, or piece of music, or a spiritual view for that matter. But as we dig deeper and take the time to really relate and understand, I think there is often a diamond to discover in the rough. And as Rumi says, in the house of lovers, the music never stops. The walls are made of songs and the floor dances. And in the more modern era, Stevie Ray Vaughan says, everyone resonates to a different note. Holding his instrument and playing his music, he says, it's funny, that's when you can heal yourself, by playing, and you can make yourself feel better. That has happened many times.
Matt, you said one of the artists was a fretless bass player. What does that mean?
It means he plays on a bass that doesn't have any of the metal frets that allow your instrument to get more accurate intonation. Actually, it's more accurate if you're just using your fingers, but it sets an intonation. So it has the 12 notes of the Western scale set up that way. Yeah, it doesn't have frets, so you can get some of the in-between notes.
John,
do
we have time for questions?
Yeah, we have time for a couple questions. Oh. You know, you talked about the different stages in your life as music came into your life.
Yeah.
Almost as if it was serendipity that brought you there. But almost it seems like it was a reflection, a mirror, or a shadow of your attitude or
certainly,
yourself
yeah.
at that time. And I wonder, was it really serendipity or were you seeing that out?
That's something I wonder too.
Couple things. First of all, thank you to Nancy and all of you guys who play that music. That is so wonderful. And that's something that I think that Unitarians as a whole sometimes miss. We're in our head too much. Mm-hmm. I've never been in a group that sang Lean on Me and no one moved, including me. We're intellectually, I think, kind of gifted as a group, but emotionally repressed or whatever else. So if we ever sing that again, we gotta move, or at least a sway. But I think we've all been in different churches or groups, or you know, even evangelical Christians. I think what they have that we have not gotten yet, maybe here, and maybe we could create a kind of a concert or jam series, is the movement. And because music isn't just something you listen to, something that moves through you and you move with it. If you Matt or Nancy could, you know, what would be your, you know, a year from now or 6 months from now? If the fellowship could intertwine music more into our fellowship, what would that look like?
I'm not sure. It'd be interesting to find out, for sure.
Keep on doing what you guys are doing.
Thank you.
Yeah. That's good stuff.
All right, well, thank you very much, Matt, for sharing your story and for sharing your mixtape. Sometimes even more personal.
Thank you.
Please stand while we sing again from the included music, A Bridge Over Troubled Water.